Talk Legal on the Talk Station FM 107.1 with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins of Harvell and Collins. As we begin the new year, well, as I'm going to do again, I did just a few moments ago, wish you both Happy New Year to you and good afternoon to you all.
Good afternoon, Lockwood. And absolutely, Wes and I and all of our staff at Harvell and Collins, we wish you and all of the folks at the radio and the newspaper a Happy New Year as well.
Thank
Here
you.
We are, 2023.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Almost a quarter of a century through, just to put it in perspective.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Mr. Collins is going to lead us off this morning.
Lockwood, we want to talk a little bit about life insurance, but not the typical, you know, what is life insurance, how does it work, that type of thing, but an aspect of life insurance that we see quite often at Harvell and Collins, but folks normally don't think about. And what that is, basically, is in the event that there's a dispute with regard to life insurance, let's say the life insurance company decides, well, we're not going to pay on this claim after this person has died.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, I think the common interpretation, or I guess the common assumption by those involved by that would be, well, okay, there was a problem with the policy, and the insurance company said this, so that's what goes. Okay? You know, there's kind of that thought process in the insurance industry anyway, whether you have, you know, a home loss with regard to a fire or a hurricane, a storm, you know, whether it's a life insurance issue. Well, I've talked with my agent, and that's all they're going to pay,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's it. Well, I mean, I can tell you that that's not the case. Obviously, every case is different. Obviously, we take every case on a case-by-case basis, but, you know, there are tons and tons of cases where, for example, you know, we have gotten folks, thousands, if not more than that, additional money off of their hazard insurance relative to Hurricane Florence and Dorian, more than what the insurance company would offer, because we know how the law works with regard to these insurance policies. But we want to focus that conversation on life insurance, because I think more than even a hazard loss, life insurance is one of those types of insurance where when there's a denial, then the insurance company is going to give a reason for the denial, which we'll talk about what some of those reasons are.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the assumption then in many cases is, well, they're not going to pay it, so it's, you know, that's too bad, and you can't do anything about it. And we would encourage folks, listeners, to not think about insurance, especially life insurance, in that way. You understand, obviously, life insurance is a product that, you know, the individual or an individual owns the policy, pays the premiums
right.
upon the life of another, and then upon the death of the insured, then the whatever the death benefit under the policy is then paid to a designated beneficiary or beneficiaries.
Right.
Okay, we know that. And, you know, the reasons we have life insurance normally, sometimes it's as an investment,
mm-hmm.
as, you know, a situation where, you know, if I die and I'm the money maker, I want my family to be taken care of, mm-hmm. for example, myself. I want my kids' college to be taken care of. I want my wife to be taken care of, you know, these type of things, because I'm the primary breadwinner. You know, and sometimes we have life insurance that just is somewhat attached to our work. We see life insurance policies that we deal with quite often through Cherry Point, through other military connections or military offered life insurance. So we deal with all types of life insurance.
Uh-huh.
What we want people to know is that normally when you're talking about a life insurance claim being denied, it's normally within 2 years of the policy, okay? Because the law, when I say the policy, I mean the start date, okay, the effective date of the policy. Because the law with regard to the contestability period is that within a two-year period of time, but not after the two-year period of time, the life insurance company can then contest the validity of the policy contest whether they are going to pay, you know, based on things like the health of the individual, mm-hmm. whether you disclosed everything on your health questionnaire, mm-hmm. other related issues. Okay, but after that two-year period of time, normally, you know, I guess there may be some very rare situations, but I'm not familiar with any as I sit here. The two-year period of time is the contestability period. And, you know, again, when we see those things, it's normally, okay, well, you did not disclose that you had been diagnosed with cancer, and we now have your medical records, and it wasn't disclosed, and we would not have written this policy if we had known that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, enter COVID. Now, as we know, COVID changed things significantly, you know, with regard to the causes of death in this country for a period of time, and still to a much, much, much lesser extent now. But, I mean, you know, COVID is the type of situation where, you know, if it affects you, if you're one of those who it affects very negatively, then, you know, you could contract it and die within 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
or die within, you know, a month. So how does that affect folks who are within that two-year contestability situation? Well, because when they filed their paperwork for the insurance, they didn't know they were going to get COVID.
Right.
But they died from this situation. So I have some cases like that right now, actually, that have been denied. And what our listeners need to know is that the way that insurance policies are interpreted are very favorable to, not to the insurance company, but to the insured. Okay? If there's any ambiguity in the policy, if there's any language in the policy subject to an interpretation, it's always, that language is always going to be interpreted in favor of coverage. Okay? And one of the main reasons why is because the insurance policy is in control of the language of their own policy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, as I have several of these cases dealing with the COVID situation that have been denied because there's a position that's been taken that your health changed, okay, and you should have notified us during this period of time. Well, the policies in which that has taken place, we received the denial letter. The insurance company has indicated this is the reason that we're not paying it. And they have to do that, by the way. They can't just say we're not paying it. Okay, they have to give you the reason, the basis for the denial. And the basis is primarily that, okay, you applied on such and such date, you contracted COVID within a short period of time of then, or the person did, and you died, or the person died as a result, you should have let us know about the COVID. But what's interesting about the most life insurance policies, certainly life insurance policies that I have dealt with on this particular issue, nowhere in the language of the policy does it indicate that you are required to notify the insurance company within, let's say, a 90-day period of time or short period of time if your health condition changes. The operative language talks about whether your health changes, but whether it was different than what you reported on your application.
Mm-hmm.
So that type of language is very favorable to the insured. Obviously, here we are with the insured has passed away from COVID, so that's awful. We're more talking about for the benefit of his beneficiaries, whether it be his spouse or
right.
his child or so on and so forth. So we want folks to know that in the event that there's a life insurance policy that you have and it's denied and it's within 2 years of the period, then it is advisable to have that insurance policy and any communication with the insurance company reviewed by an attorney who deals with these issues, because it is very likely, as long as there wasn't any fraud and as long as the application was accurate as far as the health condition of the insured at the time of the application, it's very likely that a good attorney can get the insurance company, you know, to pay. Now, I'm kind of going on and on here, and I'll let Cecil chime in because he certainly deals with this. And you kind of get the idea why Harvell and Collins ends up dealing with these life insurance.
Right. Well,
we deal with so many estates.
We're talking with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins of Harvell and Collins. And by the way, I want to remind you the phone number, 252 area code, 726-9050, 726-9050. And I want to get back to something here with you, Wes and Cecil. We've talked about insurance in the past, and in that process, you've always advised folks to look very diligently at the policies, be they casualty policies, or in this case, life insurance policies. And I'm really quite shocked by what you've just shared with me a moment ago, Wes. And the fact is that if you're dealing with a major policy, you advised us a while back, we should take this policy to an attorney to look at, because these policies are jam-packed full of tiny print, many pages long, and using a lot of terminology that the average human being doesn't fully understand, but you do. But I am really stunned by this disclosure you've just shared with us a moment ago, Wes.
Well, just a couple of kind of the facts of life. Mm-hmm. Let me just say it. Insurance companies are in the business of collecting our premium and denying our claim.
Right.
And so absolutely the devil is in the details. And your policies need to be reviewed, and it is not unreasonable at all to have some legal consultation in that manner in reviewing the policies. And most importantly, as we've said so many times on the program here with you, Lockwood, is to check, renew, revisit your beneficiary designation.
Uh-huh.
Make sure you have a copy of the beneficiary designations, the most recent ones that you and or your family have made, have a copy of that with the policy, a copy of what was forwarded to the insurance company. Confirm with them that it is, in fact, in place, the beneficiary designation forms.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, there is just any number of files at our office that touch and concern insurance policies. And Wes, of course, today has primarily kind of focused on life insurance, but we have this with regard to construction litigation, where insurance companies are involved. Of course, insurance companies are always involved in any kind of personal injury, be it medical injury, medical malpractice, and or even personal injury in an automobile or truck accident, motorcycle accident. Insurance companies are a big part of our lives, and absolutely the devil is in the details with regard to those policies. We do have several files right now that are interesting with regard to life insurance, and that's why Wes, of course, today wanted to discuss that with our listeners. So it's just an area of the law. Some folks might be listening right now, Lockwood, and they think to themselves, well, what in the world can a lawyer do? I mean, the insurance company is the insurance company, and the policy is the policy. And I don't really think I need any legal advice with regard to this policy. I would not take that position. If you have questions about your policy, then it's appropriate that you have it reviewed.
Well, there's another aspect of this. I wanted to go back to a comment you made earlier, Wes, and of course that was Cecil Harvell. We're talking with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins of Harvell and Collins, and we're hearing stories now that are immediate, that have impact on our listeners. And so I remind you, don't hesitate to give them a call, 252 area code 726-9050, 726-9050. Wes, you mentioned a few moments ago the two-year of years of contestability.
Right.
Okay, so you have a family who've relied on the breadwinner. The breadwinner died from COVID, and after he or she has acquired the life insurance, within, let's say, months of acquiring the life insurance policy. But the family now is lost the services of their primary breadwinner, and they need income to continue their lives. Are we talking about the fact that there could be as much as a two-year time before any money is or any determination is made on this? That is, you know, a lot of policy owners, myself included, don't even think that thought.
Right. Well, of course, the two-year time period would be, you know, from the date that we applied for the insurance to the date of the death. And that's the period of time that the insurance company has to contest the validity. So there's that. Now, now we go to after the death.
All right.
How long does it take to resolve? Well, normally life insurance claims are resolved quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Normally it's a process of providing the death certificate. In some cases, there may be the need to provide, have the estate open and provide letters, testamentary, or letters of administration. And that's normally in cases where the life insurance is paid to the estate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's a little bit of a process there, not very complicated as far as just opening the estate at all. So there may be a 2 or 3 or 4 week period of time before life insurance pays, but normally not much further than that. So during that period of time, the individuals who are entitled to their life insurance, if they have submitted all of the information, had communications with the life insurance company about what they want, submitted the documentation, death certificates, so on and so forth, and it's been denied, that normally is going to happen pretty quickly, that determination. You know, sometimes when the cause of death is mysterious, such as whether this was a suicide or not, because that is another area that we deal with, and I have a case right now that deals with that in a life insurance policy as to whether the young man actually committed suicide or not. You know, that's another one that would even fall within that 2 year, period of time.
Okay.
That one doesn't have anything to do with the information provided on the application. That has to do with once you're 2 years out from the application, even if there is a suicide, then in many cases, based on the language of the policy, it would still pay because of the two-year period.
But this goes back to the, still the issue of the COVID circumstance where an individual, myself, for example, I buy the life insurance policy, I'm going along fine for 6 months, and then I contract COVID, I die from it, and then it's within that 2 year of, I'll use the word statute of limitations, that's probably not accurate, but within that 2 year period, the insurance company says, well, wait a second, you were probably carrying the disease when you were when you signed up for this. You never shared with us the fact that you had a change in physical condition or medical condition. We're not going to pay. Again, the family is sitting there saying, wait a second, we need this money for,
To live on.
Yeah. My gosh, Wes, you're doggone right. I can see where, you know, this is not something that what you're telling us, the beneficiaries, the policy owners should take, pardon the pun, lying down.
We should. They should get a good lawyer to push it forward as much as possible. Now, another aspect of this that I want to add, I know we don't have a whole lot of time left this morning on, program, but
5 or 6 minutes.
We're good. On the program is that in the event that it's determined that the insurance company denied the claim in bad faith, then that would support a claim for unfair and deceptive trade practices, which you've heard us refer to on the program before. And again, that would be a determination, you know, by the court. After, I mean, you have a right to a jury trial, and then the court would make that determination. And in the event that it's, there's a finding that there was unfair and deceptive trade practices, then not only would the insurance company be required to pay the death benefit, they'd be required to pay the death benefit times three.
Okay.
And the attorney's fees incurred for advancing the claim. So there's quite some leverage there. In the event that an insurance company is acting in an unfair or deceptive way relative to the policy, and this could be an interpretation of the policy that they are trying to advance that obviously would be benefiting themselves doing, you know, what we know insurance companies do, which is they try to deny claims where they can.
Right.
And in the event the court would make the determination that the position of this insurance company just had no merit and it never did have any merit, that could be determined as an unfair and deceptive trade practice because it's a bad faith denial, and therefore the $500,000 policy, for example, pays $1.5 million to the beneficiary plus the attorney's fees. So insurance companies have to be careful.
Okay.
But if you don't have a lawyer to advance that,
well,
they won't care about it.
Well, not only that, Wes, Cecil, both of you have mentioned this. Several things. Number one, time is on the side of the insurance company, the beneficiaries. And let's talk about a situation such as a buy-sell agreement between two partners, and each own have cross-ownership of a policy. So the partner dies, and the surviving partner needs to pay out. The family needs to continue the operation, pay off business loans and things of this nature. I'm wondering, I mean, here's another, I think, a situation where legal representation is helpful. Somebody needs to go to the banks, to all the creditors, and explain the situation while the dispute is ongoing. And it strikes me that, correct me if I'm wrong, that really time is the is to the benefit of the insurance company. That is there a possibility of, you know, seeking a settlement? Would they be forcing a settlement in some nature?
Yeah, that's certainly possible. I mean, obviously, once you contact the insurance company and you set forth your position, and usually that would be a response to their denial letter, explaining to them why their denial letter is incorrect. And you put them on notice that they would potentially be responsible for treble damages and attorney's fees. In many cases, they may want to come forward and resolve the case. But if they don't, then we file the lawsuit, and the court and the jury will make that determination. So, you know, that's why you need to have a good attorney who will review the documents and review the policy and the basis of the denial and all the facts related to that. In a very, you know, obviously good faith way, because, you know, no one wants to go through litigation that's going to end up with a zero.
Right.
We don't want to bring frivolous lawsuits. We want to bring lawsuits that are well grounded in the law. And obviously the first step to knowing how to do that or doing that is to have a good attorney who has dealt with these issues before. So, and, you know, sometimes I deal with these type of situations and folks bring their policy in and they tell me the situation, and I make the determination that the insurance company is right, that they're right. They have a good faith basis for denial, and therefore the advice to the prospective client is, you know, this is the reason for their denial. This is, I don't believe you have a colorable claim or a claim that will get us anywhere. Therefore, I can't do anything for you, or therefore I can make a demand, but, you know, in the event that they offer something, you probably need to take it, you know. So every case is different.
Okay.
But, you know, kind of what we want people to know more than anything is we want individuals to think differently about what they can do in the event of a denial of an insurance claim. There's so much that you can do that the law supports that people don't know about.
That's Wes Collins of Harvell & Collins. We're talking about life insurance policies, but we've talked about this insurance policies in general in the past. And as we wrap it up, I want to remind folks, we talked about this a while back relative to casualty insurance as a result of Hurricanes Florence and Matthew and all the other experiences of calamitous events. Number one, I'm taking away from this conversation, Cecil and Wes, if you're investing in an insurance policy and in a kind of a way you are making an investment, you need to have a good review of it. Best way to start off is with an insurance review with a law firm. And of course, we're talking with Harvell and Collins and Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. The location, of course, there on Bridges Street in Morehead City, directly across from City Hall, as a matter of fact. And also the phone number, 252 area code 726-9050, and or online at harvellandcollins.com. Spell out the word and, harvellandcollins.com. Cecil, Wes, thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thank you, Lockwood.
Thank you, Lockwood.
Let's talk legal on the talk station.